Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Well, Matt, I didn't expect us to have to bring up the virtual flamethrowers today on a Friday, on a beautiful Friday here in Chicago, but I guess we're going to have to. Am I right? How are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? There's a lot of real aggravated Bulls fans in the community right now for a couple of different reasons. We got Jim Boylan saying stuff. Darnell Mayberry went scorched earth with his athletic column this morning. I loved it. And we've also just got some new amazing episodes of Jerry Reinsdorf being a gigantic billionaire tool. I can't wait, man. Let's talk about all of it.
It's a process.
I think we should let the people, I know you and Dave, which was a great episode. Everybody go listen to Matt and Dave's episode yesterday if you didn't catch it. You guys talked a little bit about the WGN interview, which I was surprised, Matt. I was still at the Score when this popped up. It was like 11:30 at night and they dropped this on WGN. I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is the first time we've heard from Boylan. I'm like, what did he say now? And so I listened. So before we even get into any of this, I just want our listeners to be able to hear this if you didn't. So here is Boylan with Rich King from WGN, who Boylan was doing, actually, I do give him props for this. He was doing a charity event in his hometown in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Rich King caught up with him for about a minute and a half.
A young team, you know, we were 23 and a half years old. We had an injury late in season, you know, so we need to play, we need to compete. We played very hard, we were a hard playing team, but we want to keep that edge, right? Yeah. Going into next year, and it's hard to do that without the competition part of it. So, you know, we're hoping we can have some of that. We're not in the bubble. It's disappointing, but we still got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do the best we can with it.
There's always some trepidation when there's change at the top of an organization.
Yeah, yeah.
How comfortable are you right now with the new leadership in Chicago?
Well, I've got a new vice president, a new general manager. The relationship has gone really well. We communicate every day. I think they understand where we were, what we're trying to get to. They've been very supportive collaborative. You know, it's a process to build this team into what it can be. I just like the fact that we have a relationship already. You know, it's never perfect, Jack. You know, nothing's perfect, right? And you just work at it and you tell the truth and you get your guys to play hard, and that's what we're trying to do.
Oh, boy. So, first of all, Matt, I counted 13 wheeze in the first 45 seconds of that statement.
We are on the same train of thought, man, because that was my first thought as well. All of the wheeze. I feel like we're all just laughing with that bit from Fresh Prince where Uncle Phil is saying to Will Smith, we?
It's... Not one championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four.
They need to make that one for Boylan. How many Wii's? Not one, not two, not three. Count all the way up to 13, man.
Oh, God.
So, with Boylan, if you watch the video and you look at his reaction to things, it seems like he is very comfortable with the idea that their relationship is going well. And this kind of feeds into the Darnell Mayberry article too. But Matt, if I wasn't, I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous now, seeing as hearing that and then reading Darnell's article as well, where we got some more details. I don't know about you.
Okay, here's the thing. To me, I'm still maintaining calm as best I can, even though, yes, Darnell's column this morning did get my blood pumping and have me thinking like, yeah, why is Jim still the coach, for crying out loud? All of these things that we've heard recently, whether it was Jim talking in that interview in Grand Rapids or the other extraneous quotes that Darnell put into his column for The Athletic this morning, it is not the organization saying we support Jim Boylan. It is Jim Boylan saying I support Jim Boylan, which means absolute dick, in my opinion. Jim Boylan can puff his chest out all he wants and say, oh, we have a great relationship. I have a great relationship with the front office. We're a young team. We need to do this. We're going to do that. And it's all just Uncle Phil laughing at the notion of we. That's what all of this is to me. It's just Jim Boylan behaving like a guy who knows he's on the hot seat and is doing anything and saying anything he can to try to preserve his job and his mental stability of his job security.
That's a process.
That is perfectly summed up. I didn't even think about it like that until now. And now you put it in context where it's not the front office backing Jim Boylan publicly, at least. It's Jim Boylan backing Jim Boylan, just like Jim Boylan putting Jim Boylan letterhead on Jim Boylan's statement about the end of the season. But he decided, he's like, well, I'm part of the Bulls, so does that make the Bulls part of Jim Boylan and Jim Boylan part of the Bulls? I'm gonna slap some letterhead together, and we're gonna make this an official Chicago Bulls statement. But again, it's like the idea too, and I guess with context too, before we get to Darnell's article, if it is really true that Jim Boylan is quote unquote was asked to be CEO, and I don't know if that's words from straight from Jerry Reinsdorf's mouth or Michael Reinsdorf's mouth, or if that's Jim Boylan stretching the truth and
tell the truth.
I don't know if he is or not, but Jerry asking him to be the CEO, again, this makes me think he's endorsing himself more than it is endorsing the actual Bulls or answering any of the questions we want answered.
Well, look, and to me, context is important here, because that quote about, oh, Jerry asked me to be the CEO, was from back in October, when Jim was gearing up for his first full season as the head coach and was, you know, listening or was giving his speech to anybody who would listen about, here's how great of a position we're in and here's how confident I am in this job. So do I believe that Jerry asked him to do that when Jerry handed Jim the reins and they ousted Fred Hoiberg? Yeah, I do, because it's a ludicrous thing to say, but Jerry Reinsdorf has, as most Bulls fans know, zero interest in the day-to-day operations of this basketball franchise that he owns. None. So to tell Jim Boylan, you're going to be the head coach, but I also want you to do this, 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 and this, hire the people, run the thing, you know, go envision your dream and make it a reality. It's just a lazy owner who didn't want to do shit, who didn't want to get off his ass. Because the other thing I think about when I hear a comment like that is, what did AK say right when he got here? Wow, I was pretty shocked to look at the lack of staff for what it takes to run a successful NBA organization right now. That is completely in line with how the Reinsdorfs operate. A gigantic market, $3 billion franchise that operates like a small mom and pop shop and thinks they can't afford to actually build out their staff to a competent level. So for him to say, hey, Jim, go be the CEO, I completely buy that.
I didn't think I was going to get this fired up on a Friday, but the idea that there's no way Jim Boylan's is crazy to think that this is all being stirred up in his own head, right? Somebody's got to be feeding him this confidence and this reassurance. And I know we haven't heard it publicly, but time and time again, Jim Boylan, we haven't heard him crack or say anything that seems to deter from this. Although the losses stacking up in, you know, January and February and get their asses kicked the last two seasons, that started to crack Jim Boylan a little bit. But all of a sudden, a little bit of a break, it seems like we've got a reset button on Jim Boylan. And he sounds more confident than ever. And we're not getting any definitive answers from anybody as many times as you ask. As although all of us point to Jim Boylan ultimately being fired. But man, this scares me because I don't think it's going to happen now. It's like the Bulls made changes in certain areas, but now they're going to dig their heels in even more and said, well, we did the things that you guys asked us of the main point, the front office. We made changes there, but now we want to also do things kind of our way and keep Boylan around. That's just digging your heels again. And we said this last week. The idea that Jim Boylan comes back and that's your first move is a new front office, is you're going to bring that guy back, you're going to lose the entire fan base. You're going to lose the entire fan base before even playing a single game.
Yeah, but Jordan, I would urge you and all of our listeners and all Bulls fans to, again, pump the brakes on panicking. I've seen so many Bulls fans on Twitter in the last 48 hours be like, oh, I've already lost faith in AK for not firing Jim already. And I certainly had moments reading Darnell's column where I felt the same way. Like, what the hell is going on? Just fire the dude already. However, I would also remind our listeners that, and you know, I'm not claiming to be some amazing professional psychologist, but people who behave that confidently and are that, you know, braggadocious and are so confident in themselves outwardly are the ones who are actually super, super conscious and know that they're standing on top of a castle made of sand. And it's like, it's no coincidence that, you know, I screenshotted a few of those Boylan quotes from his interview in Grand Rapids and threw them up on Twitter. And we're like, this sounds like Donald Trump. If I didn't know it was Jim Boylan, this sounds like Donald Trump. Save for the fact that Jim Boylan's, you know, a bit more skilled in forming coherent sentences. But, and not to get political, but men who are outwardly confident, knowing that on the inside, they're pretty much boned and they know nothing and they have no reason to be confident in themselves. So all of this confidence coming from just Jim Boylan's mouth about how great everything is, it's because the dude knows he's fucked. That is why this is happening. This is why the Bulls fans are forced to listen to this, and it's why they shouldn't panic, because that's the kind of behavior you get from somebody who actually is panicking like mad on the inside, just fearing that they will be discovered to be a fraud, is the people who puff their chests out that much. It's not that complicated.
So I think you do bring up a good point about the confidence level in some people, and you know, people who have a lot of confidence doesn't necessarily match either the skill to go with that, if we're talking in terms of a job placement, right? And that goes for anything. But I did read a quote, and I don't want to, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, the more confident you are, it seemingly feels like the less skill some people have, but you can still move farther ahead. And the people that have, maybe don't have as much confidence, but do have the same skill level to meet the requirements of the job, don't advance as much. I don't want to botch the quote, but that makes a lot of sense, that there are people that can get away with just having a lot of confidence. You can get away with things with having a lot of confidence, and almost tricking people's minds.
And you know, the other thing that people say a lot, and whether it's in the business world, you know, the financial world, or in this case, professional sports, which is also, you know, a huge, gigantic run business, people get promoted to the level at which they are not capable of doing the job, because people get promoted when they excel at their current position, and then they get promoted to a job where they struggle to keep up or are not qualified. And guess what? That's when the promoting stops. So, and you know, I think you and I have said before on this podcast, it's very possible, and in all cases likely, based on the number of different staffs and successful basketball organizations that he's worked on as an assistant coach, that Jim Boylan is a good assistant coach. But he got a promotion that he wasn't necessarily qualified for and is proving it game in and day out. And that's where the promoting stops. And that's how you know the person isn't qualified for the job.
All right, go down a rabbit hole real quick with me, because I thought about this in... Is it the front office? Did they throw out feelers for either the front office or for Fred Hoiberg or anybody that they were trying to test the waters in terms of news and how it would be handled by the fan base before in recent history? And even it doesn't have to go to front office or coaches, maybe even players, like trading guys away or trying to gauge the overall opinion of the fan base. The Bulls have done this in recent past, and it hasn't gone well for them. I wonder if this is the Bulls floating out there time and time again, like, hey, let's get a little bit of a feeler. We haven't heard from the Bulls fan base in a little while. Let's get a little feeler to see how this would go down if maybe, say, we do bring Jim Boylan back. We continue to wait on Jim Boylan. I mean, if that's their plan, I don't know how they don't realize by now. Bulls fans, even if they if talks quiet down for a few months, few weeks, few days, you bring a story back up that's going to piss them off, they're going to come in droves again. And the opinion's pretty clear from, I would say, 98% of Bulls fans out there that staying with Jim Boylan and doing it this way and being closed doors about it, too, I think, is something that's also bothering me, Matt.
I'll tell you what, Jordan. And I, you know, like you said earlier, I didn't mean to get this fired up and this worked up and this depressed on a Friday. That theory holds no water to me for one simple fact. The people at the top of this organization could give two shits about what the fans think. They do not care what we, the fans, think. Bottom line, full stop. They don't care. Other than the occasional song and dance that they get somebody to write about where, oh, look, Jerry and Michael welcomed this season ticket holder to their suite for a wonderful, you know, experience of Bulls basketball and lavish, you know, being waited on and all this great. Yeah, we hear one of those stories every once in a while, but it's about season ticket holders because what's important? What's important to them? Dollars. Dollars, 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 dollars. As far as how fans feel about the basketball operations and what's going on the court, they don't care about our opinion. Sorry if that bursts your bubble.
It's depressing to hear that, but you're right. Actually, you're right. I keep bringing it back to the idea of if they did care, why did it take so long, one, to remove the clear problem and start over, and that being the front office? Instead, you moved deck chairs on the Titanic. You fired Fred Hoiberg. You got rid of Jimmy Butler. You shipped Bobby Portis and Jabari. You signed Jabari Parker, and then you traded Jabari Parker 8 months later. You did all of these little things that maybe they thought was going to distract the fan base from something, but it didn't. It clearly didn't. I don't know. Again, I always go back to this idea that it was clear nobody was starting to show up to Bulls games at the end of, not this season as 2019-2020, but the season before that. It was clear. People stopped showing up to games. And it was even clear before the shutdown, people stopped showing up to games. And once that starts to happen, believe it or not, a lot of people said, well, it doesn't matter. They're worth so much money. And once things start to hit the pocketbook consistently, all of a sudden, wow, we see a change. We see a front office change, and we see the disgust. So I guess you're right in a sense, and I bring it back to perception is reality, right? And whether John Paxson wants to believe that or not, or anybody else in the organization, it's so true more than ever, Matt, not even in just sports. In the world, perception is reality. And even if you may think you're not doing things 100% wrong, or you think everything is right the way you're doing it, the way your fan base, the way the people that spend their money on this team see your fan base, that's what you should care about. And I feel like I thought the guy that didn't care about that was finally moved into a different spot in the organization, but I guess maybe there's more than one person that thinks like that.
No. And honestly, if there's someone who actually does care, I assume you're referring to John Paxson.
Correct.
I think John does care. I think he cares a little bit. And I think, and even in some of the interviews he's done recently where he's gotten agitated, you can tell he's frustrated because he knows things aren't going well. He knows that he shoulders a lot of the fault and blame for that. And I think a guy who used to be known as three-time champion John Paxson, won another ring as an assistant coach under Phil Jackson, John Paxson, hit the shot in game 6 in 93, John Paxson, became this like cartoonish evil movie villain that in the eyes of the fan base. And because they weren't winning and he wasn't building winning basketball, I do honestly believe, based on how frustrated we've seen John Paxson get, that he does care and that does bug him. The ones who I think couldn't give a crap are Jerry and Michael. And let's think about this other detail. John, as it has been reported from trusted sources, and you can discredit this if you want and say, ah, that's a bunch of bullshit. I believe this. When we started hearing about, hey, the Bulls are going to make a front office change. And as you were saying earlier, you know, empty United Center, the team's losing. They're not selling as much merch. They're not getting as good of ratings as they usually do, even when they're mediocre at best. John saw what was happening. And John went to Michael and Jerry and said, we need to fix this. We need to change something. And I think that means me also stepping aside and letting somebody else come in here and run things. So even the, hey, maybe we should turn our eyes to us losing revenue right now because our team is so shitty and our organization is so poorly run. John had to be the one to tell them.
You're right about that. I think you bring up a good point, though, about Paxson, that he wouldn't have cracked the way he did if he didn't care, right? If he just truly didn't give a shit, he wouldn't care. He wouldn't care what any of us thought. He wouldn't care what anybody said about him on the radio or in the papers or anything like that. But if he truly cared about winning, and I still do, I still think to an extent he cares about winning and he cares about good basketball. He played on one of the damn best teams this city has ever seen. One of the best teams ever. So I don't buy into the fact that he doesn't care about winning. And I know your point being about him being somebody about perception is reality. I wonder if that thought was something that was repeated, something that was told to him and then was repeated for the sake of the organization, maybe not necessarily the sake of John Paxson. So that makes me start to think, especially all the details we're starting to get now over the last, I don't know, 72 hours, and these articles continue to keep coming out. So I don't know, man. It just makes me worried that you're right. Maybe some of the other parts of this organization that we thought cared about the fan base, maybe there's more that don't than we initially thought or the entire fan base thought.
And it will come down to when AK makes his decision. And it could be that he already has a lot of names running through his mind of who his first handpicked coach is going to be. Once he has the proper professional path to firing Jim Boylan, which he still has yet to have. Yes, he can watch Bulls game tape from this season and even some from last season if he wants. He can have Zoom meetings with Jim Boylan. We'll see when and if the Bulls start to gather at the Advocate Center for some organized team activities outside of like one player at a time working with one coach at a time, because that's kind of what it sounds like is happening right now. So that he can evaluate Jim in a more up-close and personal way. When that time comes, when AK goes to ownership and says, here's the deal, I've dismissed Jim, or I'm going to dismiss Jim, and here's the top list of candidates that I am targeting to be our next head coach, and Jerry and Michael say, okay, we brought you in to give you full authority, to change the problems that are going on here, to take the reins, to take charge, and hire the people you want to hire, okay. I am still, although yes, it's getting harder by the day as long as Jim is employed, I am still believing that that is the reality in which we live and that that will be a day that comes and that Jerry and Michael weren't full of shit when they said, we want to hire somebody and give them full control. Because as Darnell pointed out in his column, it kind of seems right now like one of the only conceivable reasons for Jim to still be employed is that the new VP of basketball ops, AK, is aware of how highly regarded Jim Boylan is to Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf. In particular, Michael Reinsdorf, who pays more attention than Jerry does at this point. So if that is in fact a reason why Jim has not yet been fired, then that could lead to being a problem. But that's just, I think, something that's frustrating for fans to see right now, because by all accounts of basketball and record and all of the embarrassing things that Jim has done and said to make this organization a nationwide laughingstock, the dude should be fired. But there's a process that AK is going through right now, and we all just need to hope with every fiber of our beings that when that day comes where AK says, I'm firing Jim, here's a list, Jerry and Michael say, okay. And I still believe that that will happen.
He's a baller. He balls. He's nutting up. So
I do. I'm not making any outrageous or I guess knee jerk reactions to AK. I'm gonna wait till he actually starts to make moves. That's what I want to evaluate him on and how the structure of the team is over the next what say 2 years, the next two seasons. And really, I think this first season is going to be very important because he needs to clear house and do all the things that he wants to do. But sometimes, man, when you get in a new job, you gotta go along to get along, right? And especially with this Bulls organization, you gotta go along to get along if you want to change some of the things you feel are extremely important to changing and all of a sudden making this team and turning this team back into what it was, the prominent organization that AK, I believe, and so do I think about Mark Eversley, want this organization to be. But sometimes, man, you can't do it all at once, right? You can't just say, let's take the blowtorch like we are right now and let's just flame everything and burn it all down and let's rebuild it. Because that's just not how it works.
When you're talking earlier about how the organization feels about the opinions of the fans, and I just outright said, like, they don't care, referring to ownership and President Michael, I think Arturas stated pretty clearly that he wants to regain the trust and enthusiasm of this fan base because he knows how much the previous people lost it. The Bulls have lost a huge chunk of a once proud fan base. And AK is certainly aware of that. Even, you know, pointing out, and Darnell mentioned this in his column this morning when he was being interviewed by the media last month, Karnisova said, there's not going to be any excuses when talking about how they, you know, communicate to the fan base. The youth, the injuries, all that stuff is not going to be an excuse moving forward because this group is too talented not to perform better. And what do we hear from Jim Boylan yesterday? Well, we were young and we had a lot of injuries. That's all you need to know right there. AK and Jim Boylan, not on the same page. AK saying, we're not going to use these excuses. And Jim Boylan opens his dumb mouth and says, here are these excuses. Come on. What other evidence do you need to know that this wonderful relationship between Jim Boylan and Karnisovas doesn't actually exist other than in Jim Boylan's mind?
I just like the fact that we have a relationship already.
Matt, I actually found that sound, and that's a good. My brain briefly forgot about that, and I want to play that again. If people had forgot what that sounded like, here's AK the first time he talked to media.
Earning the enthusiasm and excitement back from the fans for the Chicago Bulls is both a challenge and something I very much look forward to. These fans deserve a team that they can be proud of. And my objective is to get us back to relevancy.
That was his opening statement. That was in his opening statement. And I think it's fair for Bulls fans to hold him accountable to that. But we can't do that with him being hired in 2 months. And he hasn't, with the pandemic, with the season, everything, we can't judge him on anything yet. We can't judge him on anything yet because we're in limbo right now as far as the Bulls go. So like you said, I don't think it's necessarily the moment. I definitely don't think it's the moment to just say, all right, I'm off the AK bandwagon already because of this.
I think Bulls fans who are saying that and expressing that and feeling that are just lost. I mean, and it's not necessarily their fault. And I think I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast or on Twitter, but like this notion that the Bulls fan base is suffering from PTSD right now, and that the previous regime ran things so poorly and made so many mistakes and just lied and gaslighted us the whole time they were doing it. The fan base was just like, you know, put one of those aluminum foil blankets over me and like give me a hot cup of tea and I'll try to not be depressed in 2035. That's how the Bulls fan base feels right now. AK knows that. That's why he said that. But fans who are saying, I've already lost trust in AK because he hasn't fired Jim yet, I'm saying, guys, just remember that this is a new person and this is a new voice. And Rome wasn't built overnight. And try to keep your trust in the fact that AK ain't Gar Forman. He ain't John Paxson. He's here to fix things. He will, you know, articulate and then lay out a plan and enact that plan to fix things. And Jim Boylan not being fired yet because AK wants to be professional about it is enough for you to say, I've lost faith in AK. Remind yourself that AK isn't the front office that you're mad at. You just still have PTSD from the previous regime.
That's a really good way to put it. And I think it's going to take a while, too. Like, even me as a Bulls fan, like, even if you see something, don't you necessarily have to retrain yourself? And I even said this a few months ago. Retrain yourself to not have a knee-jerk reaction and being negative. And not all of a sudden say, oh, shit, here we go again. It's tough to do that, though, when we get Jim Boylan talking for the first time in 3 months. We haven't heard anything yet. We haven't heard anything from anybody at the top of the organization. I mean, Jim Boylan only spoke because Rich King drove himself up to Grand Rapids and caught him at a charity event. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard from Jim Boylan. We wouldn't have heard from him. So,
and all we know is the Reinsdorfs like Jim, and especially Michael. That's it. That as a generality, we know that they like Jim. But is that enough for them to go back on their promise of giving AK full authority? And that's the other thing that I think was really well done in Darnell's column. He started and ended with Jerry Reinsdorf quotes. And he started with, you can't let your liking of a person cause you to keep somebody in the job who shouldn't be in the job. And that was Jerry Reinsdorf talking when all of the Last Dance stuff was going on a couple months ago. Jim Boylan, if they insisted on keeping him, would be a perfect example of doing the exact opposite of that. So do we have that little faith in the Reinsdorfs to say one thing and do the other? If you're sitting there saying, look at the track record. I get it. But if they do that, we will all be able to point and say, are you fucking kidding me? Because if you believe that you can't keep somebody in their job just because you like them, what other evidence do you have and what other reasons do you have to keep Jim Boylan around? Because the answer to that question is an emphatic goose egg. So if the Reinsdorfs do believe that, Jim is gone.
You're right.
Before we get out of here, Matt, we got a couple minutes. I just want to run through some of the points that Darnell laid out, too, about Boylan and why it's justified to get rid of him. Why there are so many reasons, basketball and non-basketball reasons, that he's not equipped to do this job. And he wasn't even at the time that he was hired. And Matt, I said this, too. When people were going after Boylan, like even on the radio earlier this week, I said to Mark Rohde, I was like, you know, Boylan was put in a tough position as well, and he may have wanted it, and he wanted to be a head coach and wanted that opportunity. Yeah.
He made his bed.
But the front office, they knew that he wasn't going to be able to handle this. They knew it. They had to know it. And he was in over his head from the start. Think about what Jim Boylan was the first 3 weeks he was coach compared to what he is now.
I disagree.
Really?
I think the Reinsdorfs very much believed that Jim was the right man for the job and that he could do this. It points to the Reinsdorfs' complete lack of insight or intelligence in the entire world of the sport of basketball and the people who run it and do it successfully. But I truly believe, based on everything we've heard, that Michael especially loved Jim Boylan and thought he could get this team on the right track. And for a while, so did John Paxson.
See, but is there a difference between them thinking he was equipped to take over a head coaching position on a team that was getting their ass kicked, or is it the perfect guy to do exactly what we want them to do, right? Isn't there a clear distinction between those two? The guy that's fit for the coaching job and fit to do this job, whether you're talking generally in the NBA or over the history of what the Bulls have done, or is it, you know what? No, we feel confident in this guy because he will listen to everything that we want him to do.
I mean, I guess, but they already had that guy in Fred Hoiberg. Like, they fired Tibbs and replaced him with Fred because they thought Fred was going to be their yes man.
At the end,
Milquetoast Ned Flanders Hoiberg, who would just do what they wanted. And not complain and not cause a stir and a fuss and have a power struggle like they had with Tibbs. Who's more confrontational, Jim Boylan or Fred Hoiberg?
That's true. But that's just personality, though, man. You can't tell me that Fred Hoiberg wasn't pissed off, even at the start of that season before he got fired. Think about it. He had to sit up there at media day, and John Paxson had told all of media that he felt the roster was more conducive to the way that Fred wanted to play than it was the season before that. And what did they do? They went outside to Jabari Parker to play small forward.
Yeah, and I'm sure Fred, you know, and especially based on the evidence, and Fred was like, really? Like this, you're giving me
his
this?
His press conference first and six when, games in, when you he was like, at, we got our ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe they thought that, you know, Fred is milquetoast, but he, I think maybe at some point got enough stones to say to hell with you guys and started playing who he wanted to play and doing what he wanted to do, even if he was trying to do so with improper pieces of a roster that they built for him. And maybe to your point, and I think maybe you're right, and I just didn't necessarily understand it at first, is that Jim would just be a yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir kind of person and just prop up them and take bullets for them. Because a lot of blame, and certainly Jim deserves plenty of the failures of the last season and a half, but how many times did the fan base and the media take shots that, you know, got, you know, Jim Boylan dove in front of a bullet like a Secret Service agent, and those shots should have been fired at people sitting in higher up chairs than Jim's. That, in a sense, is, I think, very much so where you are correct in your opinion that Jim's just a shield for the front office and ownership. And no, he is so good at kissing their asses.
And no doubt do I believe that Fred Hoiberg at first was, that was the reason they hired him, was because they wanted a yes man, a guy that was going to follow the way that they wanted to follow it. But towards the end, Matt, and I think that is part of the reason why they got rid of Hoiberg, was because exactly what you said. He probably thought, you know what, fuck this. I'm not going to do this. They're telling me the way I should manage the team and how I should do certain things with certain guys, and they haven't equipped my roster at all for the first 3 years I've been here for anything that I wanted to do with their quote-unquote change when they brought me in. They were going to change the style from Thibs. And they didn't put a roster together until that final season where Paxson said that quote, and it still makes me cringe. The idea that the roster is more conducive to how Fred wants to play blows my mind, and you can go back and watch the press conference because you can see Fred Hoiberg just sitting there with a blank stare on his face like, holy shit, I don't believe this for a second. And getting your ass whooped by the Warriors and letting Klay Thompson break a record on your home floor in the first 2 weeks of the season, like those things on top of, too, how about Jim Boylan, too? He was doing things behind Fred Hoiberg's back at the end there to try to skate into that new job, to get the opportunity to get there. He was an associate head coach. So I think all of that played a factor, but I think you are right. At first, it brings up a more leveled theme between Hoiberg and Boylan, is they were brought in to not only listen to the organization, do the things that they wanted to do, but not have any pushback like maybe Thibs did early in the 2010s.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, again, going back to the level of concern and worry that the Bulls fans are feeling right now with the why the hell is Jim still here, you know, question. The efficacy of Jim Boylan kissing the asses of his bosses, whether it be John or Gar or Michael or Jerry or all of the above, that will not have the same efficacy when directed at Karnišovas and Eversley. They are guys who want to build a solid basketball program in their vision and return a once proud organization in a giant market to glory and victory. And if they see Jim Boylan's head coaching resume as insufficient, it doesn't matter how many times he kisses and licks their behinds, it won't work the same way it works on the people who own and used to run this organization, who loved having their behinds kissed and licked.
I will leave it at this, Matt, and we can talk about this on Monday. I'm getting more and more the sense that Jim Boylan wasn't asked to be the head coach. He was asked to be a spokesman and more of a front office person than he was as a basketball coach. And the basketball has come I feel like secondary or maybe third tier in the priority list of what Jim Boylan was asked to do just this past season. I mean, think about it. Think about the things that Darnell listed in that article, like talking with media relations on how things should be operated game day and having meetings with season ticket holders minutes before tip-offs and like all of just this stuff that I don't think he should be concerned with. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing for the Bulls or for Boylan to be involved in that. There's a time and place for that stuff, and Boylan shouldn't be concerning himself with that when you have a stadium that's a quarter filled and a team that hasn't had a winning season in God knows how long.
Right, but I mean, that all points to what we, or at least I, believe to be true, and it goes back to what I was saying about Boylan earlier. An example like trying to organize and control, you know, media relations staff and how they operate. He's literally trying to control the media. And, you know, I heard stories this past season about how Jim behaved with media when the cameras weren't on and it wasn't, you know, a post-game press conference or a pre-game shoot-around press conference. The dude was always looking behind his shoulder. He was always concerned about how things were going to be said and written about him and his job performance. So much so that he would ask the media after interviews concluded and they were off the record, hey, how was that? Did I answer that question okay? So all this, you know, again, the chest puffing, if someone's trying to control how your team's PR staff relates to the media and how those sessions are ran, what does that tell you about that person's confidence in the fact that they're actually doing their job right? Or maybe they know that they're doing their job poorly and are trying to control the message. They're trying to control the media.
Oh, man. Not the way I wanted to leave our Bulls fan base for the weekend, but a lot of things to think about, right? And the perfect place to unleash your thoughts is at 331-979-1369. Text messages, voicemails. I know we've got a couple in the bank already, Matt, that will... I feel like maybe we might have to move mailbag to Monday if there's nothing pressing from the weekend. There might be, but we may have to move mailbag to Monday because I'm assuming we're going to have a lot of texts and a lot of voicemails to go through. And again, you can drop those at 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. You can drop us an email, too, if you want to send something long form or don't have access to any of those social media or can't call us if you're international. Send us an email at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. But that's going to about do it here for Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening to us. We're going to 5 days a week again now. So we're less than a week from actual basketball, seeing actual basketball back. And about a month or so away from the NBA lottery, Matt. So I'm excited. We're actually going to have things to talk about.
Give me that number 7 pick, baby.
Pertaining to this actual team. So I guess we'll wait and see, but I'm excited. So everybody out there, have a good weekend. Stay safe. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. We are out of here for the weekend. Be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We did an extensive search. I kind of led the search.
It's a process. I just like the fact that we have a relationship already.
Tell the truth.
You know, I don't stop coaching the team because we're down. I don't do that. I've never done that. I never will.
I work for Greg Popovich.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com